It's all Bills all day. Buffalo Bills football Monday on the home of the Bills. WGR Sports Radio 550. Brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com.
They throw a quick hitter to Coleman, who catches it over the head of Woolen for a touchdown.
Smith under center.
Trips as he drops from center, and he's sacked. Sacked on the play by Greg Rousseau. It's a turnover on downs for Buffalo. Pocket collapsing. Allen's going to step up. He fumbled the football. It's loose, but Ty Johnson hops on it, and it's a first down. Steps up in the pocket. Throws. Has Kincaid lunging into the end zone for the touchdown. Hand off to Cook. Going to try to bounce it outside. It's a race to the pylon, and he's in for a two-yard touchdown run. Hand off goes to Cook. Right up the gut and into the end zone for his second rushing touchdown of the game. Another blitz coming and has to get rid of it, and it's intercepted. It's picked off. Austin Johnson with the INT.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on the home of the Bills, WGR Sports Radio 550.
Smells like Victory Monday. Buffalo Bills Football Monday brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. Bills 6-2, division, not even a race. Bills looking behind them. Get out the binoculars. Where are the Jets? Where are the Dolphins? Where are the Patriots? And the Dolphins come to town this week. Joining us on the Wester Hotline, he's back from Seattle after the trip out west, Sal Capaccio, who was on the sidelines there at Lumen Field. Sal, good morning. Welcome back. I'm tired, I'd imagine. Late arrival, huh?
Yeah, well, it's got a little sleep on the plane. That is the advantage of a longer flight. At least you can try to sleep, you know. But the night games, the primetime games that are in the east on the East Coast, you can't really do that on the plane as much because it's a shorter flight. It's just a really late night. At least I was able to do that. But I wrote arrow up, arrow down. As I said and tweeted after I wrote it, you just have to move 10 yards before you read it because a flag was thrown on you. So you have to be careful about that.
Yeah.
A lot of flags last night. Yeah, it was a late night. I mean, but you know what? A one where you wake up and, like you said, you look at the standings and this is a time, Jeremy, where I wish the New York Times playoff machine or the ESPN playoff machine was operating this early because, I mean, I'm not being facetious. We all know it. We all see it. This is not some funny remark. They could win this division in the next month. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, when is, we were just asking Sal, they could officially do it probably within a couple weeks.
I don't know.
Think,
you tell
right?
me. Have you figured it out? Does anybody know
no,
it yet?
I don't know.
What's
like,
that?
I don't know officially, but I mean, you look at this week even, not to jump ahead too far here, but the Jets, who just lost to New England, now play the Texans on Thursday Night Football, and the Bills are going to be favored, I think, by a touchdown against the Dolphins. So, I mean, it's very possible that they open up like a 4.5 game lead or this early on. And that is so, man, I was not a big fan of their competition in this division going into the year, but could anybody have dreamed up that it would feel over this quickly?
No, there's no way. I mean, even if you thought the Bills could be 6-2, when the schedule came out, let's remember this, guys. The schedule comes out, Howard does pick the Bills, we all talk about what the schedule looks like, and we all thought, boy, they got a pretty tough stretch to start. After the first 8 games, if I said, I think what I did say was, man, you'd love to go 6-2, but I don't know if that's realistic with this schedule. 5-3, you'll take. Well, here they are sitting at 6-2, but I think what really happened here was the Jets and the Dolphins, and I know Tua and all that, but where they are, no one anticipated. Even if you thought the Bills could get to 6, there's no way you would have thought that. I did the research a couple weeks ago. The earliest a team has ever clinched the division in the NFL was after week 11.
Okay.
The last time it happened was the Patriots undefeated season when they came here on Sunday night and torched the Bills. Remember that?
Yeah.
That game was flexed in 2007. That game clinched the division for them that year. That's the earliest, and it's happened like 2 or 3 other times with other teams after week 11. That's the last time, but it's the earliest a team has ever done it.
Okay.
Well, we'll see. Sal, it was a pretty good day for the Bills. It was also a pretty bad day for the Seahawks. I mean, I think any Bills fan would say, wow. I mean, the Bills were very good in this game, but everything that could go wrong for Seattle went wrong. They shot themselves in the foot left and right.
Did you also, Sal, the stuff that happened on the field, get to that, and then you're on the Bills sideline, so would you have not known until maybe even after the game that the Seahawks were, like, fighting each other on their own sideline?
I knew it because Chris and Eric talked about it from they saw it from their radio booth, right? Because they're on that side and they could see it. And then, So I knew what was happening over there. I didn't see it myself. But what was interesting is we talked with Deion Dawkins about it in the locker room. And what I didn't realize, Tim Graham of The Athletic actually asked Deion and brought it up. And when he asked the question, I didn't realize that Deion was like getting in the middle of it in a peaceful manner. And he admitted, it's incredible. If you guys check it out, like there's some quotes from Deion that I know that Tim might have put in his story. But Deion basically said like, yeah, we're all trying to out here playing football. And like, you know, it gets to a point where he basically said, like, he was telling teammates, you guys cool it with each other. Like, you're supposed to be teammates. You know what I mean? And then, like, they go to the sidelines. They start fighting again. So it unraveled quickly, obviously, for the Seattle Seahawks. And no doubt about it. I mean, the high snap early on and then the botched fourth down play. Who knows how the game turns any other way? Because we all know that those could be just critical moments and they shift the shape of the game. But I just felt, other than, I will tell you guys, other than maybe what about 6-7 minutes in the second quarter, the Bills completely controlled this game in every aspect.
Yeah. On those plays, if I could just get in real quick on those plays, yeah. Sal, like those are lucky plays, but how many times did the Bills stop the Seahawks before that at the goal line? And that's something they've been doing kind of all year. They did it in the Jet game, right? Where they'll get down to first and goal situations and their defense holds strong.
Yeah. And how, can we go back to the interception Josh threw? And how about him getting involved to tackle the defender before he gets to the end zone becomes a huge play that he makes. It wasn't just him, but Josh gets in on the tackle. If he doesn't, maybe he scores because Josh is there. And, you know, look, I mean, we've had this debate. I remember years ago having big debates with people about whether or not the quarterback should ever try to make a tackle on an interception. And we could have that debate. That's fine. And you never know. Like, if he gets hurt, we're probably having that debate today. Thankfully, he wasn't. But he stopped him. He helped stop him. And they, because of that, that leads to the Bills stopping them on that situation. You're right, though. And I actually have, real quick, I'm going to bring this up to you. I have a goal to go. Here we go. So goal to go situations this year. Bills defense, actually, they're not ranked. Oh, they're 11th in the league. The other team has had 64%. Of a conversion rate on goal-to-go situations. Red zone, though, the Bills are excellent in the red zone this year, too. They're fourth in the league now, 43, and they were great again yesterday, 1-for-3 only for the Seahawks. That's the big thing. The Bills have been just so good in the red zone all year.
Sal Capaccio, you can read his Arrow Up, Arrow Down column at our website, WGR550.com. The only arrow down that was a Bills player was one punt being fielded in the first quarter, Sal.
I mean, I stretched, guys. I was going to reach out to people and go, who do I put for an arrow down? I mean, the only thing I could think of was Brandon Codrington fielding that punt at his goal line, and that actually cost them field position where they had to punt on that drive.
That's it. The other one is penalties, because it's the second time this season a Bills game has the most penalties in the NFL.
Yeah, and I mean, I think watching the game from our vantage point, maybe you saw this, there were a lot of ticky-tack calls, but there's also the, hey, you got to be better than that. You have to understand, you can't hold, you know, the pre-snap penalties we always know are non-negotiable, right? I mean, so I think this is a, from a coaching perspective, I'm sure Sean McDermott will absolutely address it, but he's had to address it a couple times this year. You have to be better with your technique, and it's a loud environment, and when you're on offense, holding, when that happens because you got beat, maybe the guy got a better get off. Like, that's what happens when you get beat and your technique fails you or you have a false start. That's happened as well. Then there's the other kind and the other variety of, I mean, Keon Coleman's blocking his man into the bench, right? I mean, look, you love the physicality and you don't ever want to get a penalty for, you know, necessarily going over the line. But at the same time, do you want to take the physicality away from Keon Coleman, a rookie who's really blocking in the run game? Deion Dawkins, by the way, you guys know, speaking of him, you guys know how sometimes we call it certain games, like, I don't know, the Fitzpatrick game or the whatever game, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Deion Dawkins called it the bench game. He said it's the bench game because of what Keon Coleman did. He said, I don't care. He told him, you stay there. That's what you keep doing because that's what you want to see from him.
Coleman, one of your players, to get an arrow up. And Sal, you know, when the Bills drafted Coleman, there was a lot of, well, it's going to take a team using him in the right way. And the way that it's come along, I feel like the Bills are finding that. They're using him in the right way. And that's in part because there are other options out there taking some attention. And Coleman, when he gets one-on-one, he has been a ball winner. He has been a bully. He's been tough to bring down. He's very quick to turn up field. Like, the yak skills are there. A guy that can win a jump ball, a guy that can take a screen pass. Like, right now, Keon Coleman's looking like he's a pretty good draft pick for the Buffalo Bills.
Looking like a complete wide receiver, right? I mean, that's really what he's looking at. Now you throw in the blocking aspect, too. You're right. He's never going to be the burner that runs straight down the field past everybody, but he's exactly what we talked about in training camp. I just feel really good about how we analyzed his game in training camp, because we would talk every day, guys, about he makes plays that other people can't in different ways. He's not going to run by you, but he gets separation above the rim. He gets separation with his body control, and he makes wild plays once, at least once a practice. He's making a wild play once a game now. And what I love is the Bills are just trusting him more and more. He's getting better and better every week. And I'm going to give you another example. Now, the highlight, of course, the play of the day for him and maybe the team was the catch, which was unbelievable. And look at the body control there, right? I mean, he goes up and grabs it with one hand, and it's nothing for him to come down and put both feet down, never even go to the ground, much less drop the ball. But a play that's not going to show up on the stat sheet, later in the game, he drew a pass interference. Josh wanted to go deep. I don't know if you guys remember this play. And I was actually, he was kind of coming at me. For some reason, I was kind of focused on him on that play. His release is what caused the pass interference. Because his release was so good, the corner, who I don't remember, maybe it was Wolin, I don't remember, had to grab him.
It was, yeah.
Isn't that the area where his game where people said that's got to get better. It's not very good. He's getting better every week. That's a great example. That's not going to show up in a stat sheet. His release was so good, the corner got beat, he had to grab him. His technique, he's like, heck with it, I got to grab him, causes the pass interference, which causes the Bills to get the ball down the field.
Yeah, there were so many good moments. That was one of them. It was Wolin. He shook Wolin at the line of scrimmage to draw that. There was another one where I think it was Wolin again, where he pointed at him before the snap. He pancake blocked him and then pointed at him while he was on the ground. He had a day. And he doesn't even lead the Bills in receiving, Sal. I mean, if there was any question before about, hey, is Khalil Shakir still battling with an ankle injury? Maybe he still is, but he certainly doesn't look like it.
Khalil Shakir is just becoming, and he has been, right, just one of the most reliable. I mean, statistically, he is the most reliable pass catcher in the league. Another 10 targets, 9 catches, I think it was, total. His catch percentage is just unbelievable. And every time they want to throw him the ball, it seems like he's going to be there, he's going to be available, and they get it to him in different ways. Again, not a guy that just runs past everybody, but he is the prototypical kind of receiver you want in today's NFL, where so many teams are playing that cover two shell. And what did we hear from the Bills going back to March? And this is what, look, let's marry what we heard back in March. Back in March and April or whenever, when the Bills talked, I remember at the owners' meetings and Sean McDermott saying, hey, you got these teams are playing these two high shells now. You got to have a way to get the ball down the field by getting it to your playmakers and letting them run with the ball, you know, underneath the rack. And now I'm thinking they had a plan for this to be Khalil Shakir. That's what this is. This is coming to fruition now. This is the way they wanted to use him. Like, it's exactly how they planned it. And now you add in the fact that Amari Cooper is there. And Amari Cooper had one catch, right? One catch for 3 yards. And yet, I still think he made an impact on the game. Because look around, guys. You had Dawson Knox open for 50 yards in this game, first play of the game. Dalton Kincaid gets involved. James Cook gets involved in the passing game. Obviously, Shakir and Keon Coleman. Even though Amari Cooper had one catch for 3 yards, he made an impact by being on the field because you have to account for him. The one play obviously didn't go the Bills' way, was targeted to Amari Cooper. I went back and rewatched. I don't know if you guys have talked about it. He slipped on the break. And on the field, the interception, on the field, I even thought when Josh threw it, as the ball's in the air, I'm like, boy, he just kind of floated that. It was really weird. Like, he didn't throw a normal Josh fastball at all. And now when I go back and watch, I understand why. I think what happened was he saw Amari Cooper slip, and I think he tried to hold back on the throw, and it was too late, and his arm was already going there. So just a tough break. It's going to happen. And, you know, he threw his first interception of the year.
James Cook over 100 yards rushing, Sal. And I was joking with Joe earlier that, you know, when he powers through that one Seattle player and knocks his helmet off, I was joking that when the Bills get in close, sometimes Allen will take the ball in. And he also might have checked to those two throws to Coleman. So, you know, Cook wanted to finish the job there. He ran really well in this game, over 100 yards on just 17 carries. So sometimes the run game works really well. And sometimes it's Ray Davis. Sometimes it's James Cook.
I love James Cook's game yesterday. I thought James Cook was what I would say the best version of James Cook yesterday. When James Cook bounces to different holes that aren't there and just keeps moving forward while he's doing it. That's the best version of James Cook. He's really great at subtly shifting his body to get into a position to gain extra yards. We talked a couple weeks ago about Ray Davis always falling forward. Well, listen, James Cook, when he's always going forward, when he's moving his body in and out of little seams, that's when he's the best version of himself. And then he gets involved in the passing game as well. Talking with some offensive linemen again, I'll go to Deion, because Deion talked a lot yesterday after the game. We asked him about James, and you know what Deion said? He said, James Cook listened to his line all week. Like, what do you mean, Deion? He said, we were telling him all week, this is where this one's going to hit. This is where this one's going to hit. He said, during the game, we would tell him in the huddle, or he would give us, there would be something on the break, like after the huddle, he said, David Edwards would give him a signal. This is where it's going to hit. This is where it's going to hit. That's great coaching. That's great coaching by Aaron Cromer, it's the offensive line coach. That's great coaching by the offensive line to let their running back know, and James Cook listen. And I'm going to throw this in there. This is not said in a, like, to be demeaning in any way. It's actually kind of funny. James Cook is so much all business. I don't see him smile a ton. Like, he's just like a guy that's always kind of all business, right? He does sometimes. Guys, he was having fun yesterday. I noticed, like, when he came back to the sidelines after scoring, like, he was just, it was joyful for him. The expressions on his face, smiling and laughing with his teammates, it was awesome to see. He was really feeling it yesterday.
How about the Bills defensively, Sal? We had a caller ask if the Seahawks were just bad running it or if the Bills kind of shored up some of their own issues they've had in games in the past. This is a team that had given up a lot of explosive runs, almost 5 yards a carry. Of course, the Baltimore game stands out. But Seattle did nothing in the run game on Sunday.
Yeah, it's a good question. Like, I think that Seattle, if I'm doing radio in Seattle this morning, I'm probably telling you that they abandoned the run game a little too soon. They do throw too much anyway. It's a team that has a good running back, but yet they throw the ball all the time. And, you know, this game was still tight in the second quarter into the third quarter, and they probably could have committed to it a little bit more, but give the Bills a lot of credit, of course. The reason is because they were just stopping them on early downs, creating long yard situation. You have to give the Bills credit for that. What I really liked was, boy, the Bills' secondary was making tackles yesterday. Taron Johnson, as he always does. Rasul Douglas right away on an early play in the game makes a big tackle for a loss, right? So I think that you have to give a lot of credit to the Bills' defense. They put them in tough situations that they couldn't run the ball anymore. They made them a little bit more one-dimensional. But, you know, the Seahawks helped them out a little bit. But, hey, that's just the effect of knowing you have a good defense on the other side. I think the linebackers did a nice job. Beilen Spector filling in, obviously, for Terrell Bernard. So, you know, hopefully they get Bernard back this week. But another game where you get a really good opportunity for, here's your one of your best players that goes down. Somebody gets a whole nother game under his belt to get those reps, and you come out with a 31-10 win. It's great.
Does it feel like Sal Greg Rousseau is breaking out, and also because the sacks aren't there, it's just not going to happen when it comes to, like, reputation? Because I feel like every week, there's a couple plays yesterday where he just beats a tackle clean and makes an impact on a play, even when he's not getting the sack. Like, I feel like he might be the king right now of, you know, pressure rates and win rates and on run plays. There he is again yesterday. I felt like he was having a pretty easy time with that right tackle.
Yeah, he had two quarterback hits yesterday. I'm sorry, one quarterback hit, two tackles for loss out of the four tackles he had, two were for loss. And he batted two balls down in the very first series of the game, right? I mean, first play of the game, you guys saw him bat it down, right? And what they did was the Seahawks intentionally figured, okay, he's first play of the game, juices are flowing, adrenaline, this guy's going to bite on play action hard. We're going to run play action, he's going to come down line of scrimmage, we're just going to boot out where he was vacated, and it's going to be an easy play. Greg Rousseau was so under control, he didn't bite on play action. He saw it, he read it, and he just turns his body and he faces Geno Smith, who has nowhere to throw the ball. He's under control right now, and that's a great thing for a defensive end with his length to be able to do a lot of different things, his athleticism. He's not biting on play action. He's not going out of control. He's staying under control. And look, that's not going to result in all the sacks, but it's going to result in pressures, in quarterback hits, and being in the backfield and making an impact, and he did again yesterday.
Sal, before we wrap things up, let's make sure we get to the injury report, how the Bills came out of the game. The Barnes Firm injury report brought to you by the Barnes.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Barnes firm injured. Call 1-800-8-MILLION. How'd they come out?
Well, I mean, we had no official injuries on the sidelines yesterday, so I'm going to say really, really good until we hear something different from Sean McDermott. Let's hope that's not the case. It was a game, guys, where I did not have one single official injury report. I do not remember one player going into the blue medical tent yesterday. That's amazing, right? Here we are again. Can I be snarky again and say not a good week for the training staff stinks crowd again? You know, great job by the Bills overall yesterday in a 31-10 win. And it's even better when you can get your starters out of there, when you can get backups in, and you don't have injuries to talk about on Monday. So the only injuries we're going to be monitoring this week are the ones that are already in place, which is obviously we know Dwayne Carter's on IR. He can't play for the next few games. But Terrell Bernard and Curtis Samuel are the ones we're going to be monitoring this week, most of the week. That said, Von Miller comes back this week. Sorry, were you just going to say that?
Same thing, yeah. Go on.
Von Miller comes back this week. They will not have to make a roster move as it currently stands because when they put Dwayne Carter on IR, they did not sign anybody. So they have 52 on the roster now. So it should be very seamless for Von Miller to be reinstated this week. As long as he's reinstated, which you know is expected and should happen, he'll go right on the active roster.
All right. Thank you, Sal.
You got it, guys.
Sal Capaccio, the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show coming up. 10 o'clock.
Not only, by the way, Sal spoke on like the tackle Allen makes and the Bills offense makes inside the 10 to prevent the touchdown. Not only did that allow them to then get 0 points and stop, we get the stop. Allen keeps his no pick six streak alive. He is third all time now. 3,011 attempts without a pick six.
What's the record?
The record is Rodgers. He's like 700 behind Rodgers.
So next year.
Yeah, but he's 60 attempts behind Cunningham, who is second all-time.
Randall Cunningham?
Yeah.
Boy, the reports on Rodgers are he doesn't have it. He just doesn't have it. He can't move. He can't create.
Nope.
And that's a big problem.
Also, there's the Jets defense again. Not the same.
Right. Lot of reputation.
They had third and at the two-minute warning, Jacoby Brissett is in the game for the Patriots. They are still in their own territory. They're in their own 40-yard line. It is third and 10. Patriots at 3rd and 10 at their own 40, 2 minutes to go, down 5. Your Jets defense, you can't lose that football game. It's amazing they did. I love that they did. It's incredible they lost it. It's kind of reminiscent of last year, the Bills in Foxborough. Like what happened? You let Mac Jones go the length of the field? Who are you that you're letting Mac Jones do that? And that's what New England did. Jacoby Brissett went 60 yards in 2 minutes and had to score a touchdown. He did.
Chris Brown joins us when we return. We'll get his thoughts, his views on the game in Seattle. The Bills win in convincing fashion. It's Buffalo Bills Football Monday brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com.
Smith under center. Trips as he drops from the center and he's sacked. Sacked on the play by Greg Rousseau. It's a turnover on downs for Buffalo. Disaster strikes the Seahawks again.
Chris Brown's appearance on WGR is being brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. By Dunn Tire, official tire dealer of the Buffalo Bills. And by the Lockport Outdoor Store, high-impact gear for hardworking men and women.
Steps up in the pocket, throws, has Kincaid lunging into the end zone for the touchdown. It's a 12-yard touchdown reception for the tight end Kincaid. And Buffalo is now up by 10 with an extra point pending.
Tight end touchdown on what was dubbed National Tight End Day. 177 catches for tight ends around the league. The most of any day in the Super Bowl era. So coordinators and quarterbacks were feeding the tight ends on National Tight End Day. Cade Otton had a big day. Trey McBride.
That can't be a coincidence, right?
Travis Kelce, probably not.
They were working to get tight ends involved.
National Tight End Day, and both the Bills tight ends got involved. Dawson Knox, two catches. Dalton Kincaid, touchdown along the way. Chris Brown had the call of the game. He joins us on the Western Hotline. Chris, good morning. Welcome back from Lumen Field. How was your vantage point for this game? Were you at least dry, and how wet was it out there?
I was definitely dry. I mean, we're always in the booth, so undercover. And, yeah, it's crazy. Like, you know, you hear all these things about Seattle. Oh, it rains all the time, and it's damp. And then you go there, and it's exactly that. And you're like, holy cow, it's true. Like, it was like a faucet yesterday, because it would just, the faucet would turn on, and it would pour for like 15 minutes. And then it would taper off and then stop completely. And then it was, the whole process would repeat itself. But our vantage point was very good. We're centrally located. We're not too high. So really a good place to call a game.
Real quick, on the atmosphere and how many Bills fans were in attendance, like, can you put into perspective how many they were? Because I'm wondering, like, was it more just surprising that there were that many for Seattle, or was it just a lot for a road game in general?
Yeah, we had heard that there was a good contingent in the parking lots. My broadcast partner, Eric Wood, had actually done a tailgate appearance before the game, and he said, there's a lot of blue Bills jerseys out there. And then when they started to file into the stadium, the old-school Seahawks jerseys are eerily similar color blue to Bills jerseys. So on the other side of the stadium, it was sometimes hard to discern the difference. So it was a little tricky to get a handle on just how many Bills fans there were during the game. But then as we got to the fourth quarter and Seahawks fans started going home, we probably got a better handle on it. I mean, I don't know. I'm not great at estimating these things, but I would say at the end of the game, at least hanging out, there were probably 2,500 to 3,000 fans just making their way down closer to the Bills sideline behind them in the stands. So it was a good contingent for a game that's that far away.
Something that Bills fans on the road have been getting used to, seeing their team win on the road. And this is a big one. I mean, to win in that atmosphere, in those conditions, and to win so convincingly. I know, Chris, Seattle had some comically bad luck maybe along the way, but the Bills also, like Joe made this point, the fourth down where Geno trips, the Bills earned that fourth down good luck by making the three stops on first and second and third down. So it felt to me like a all phases complete victory and a bit of a bullyish kind of game. The Bills were bullies in this one.
Yeah, I mean, we had been saying, you know, up until this game that, you know, the Bills are a 5-2 football team. And they haven't played their best game yet. And this was probably as close to it as you could get. People might want to knock the penalties and things like that. But as I mentioned at the top of the broadcast, this was a crew and Ron Torbert's crew that threw more flags than any other crew in football through the first 7 weeks. So take the penalties for what they are, but then on top of that, the Bills overcome the penalties that they had. I mean, they had at least one 10-yard penalty on each of their first three scoring drives and overcame it. There were a couple where they had three 10-yard penalties and overcame. I mean, the 14-play 90-yard drive to begin the game, I mean, if that's not a tone setter, I don't know what is. Maybe it didn't look as impressive as their opening drive against the Jets on the road, but 14 plays, 90 yards in Seattle, you know, I don't know. It just, for me, it was impressive. And then they went out and did it a couple of more times. I think they had another 90-yard drive in the game. They had a 70-yard drive in the game. I mean, they dominated in a long and drawn-out fashion. It didn't feel sudden, but it was sustained. And I think that's probably the point to drive home here. It was a long, sustained domination of the Seahawks. And right now, guys, the Bills are the first NFL team with multiple road wins of 21 plus points this season. And they're also the first NFL team with four wins by 21 plus points anywhere this season.
100-yard rusher in James Cook, 100-yard receiver in Khalil Shakir. Not often that happens. And another player is who we might want to talk about the most, Keon Coleman. You know, you've talked to us about his football IQ, and we see that on display. But this game was also about the physical gifts, the physical abilities. He goes up over top of Tariq Woolen, yards after catch, big blocks. Like he was a big part of their identity. And, you know, it's starting to look like he fits in perfectly with what they want to be.
Yes, and can we give Brandon Bean yet another big giant check mark in terms of not only identifying talent, but knowing just what his football team needs? You know, this is an example of a player that did not previously exist on this roster at the receiver position. A player who's open even when he's not open, and a guy that can make plays above the rim, a guy that can make plays after the catch. I mean, you know, we've talked for years about how the Bills languish near the bottom of the league in yards after catch, and now they have two receivers who are pretty damn good at it in Coleman and Shakir. And I think what we saw yesterday was Coleman's full skill set on display, to your point. And then taking that a step further, we saw a team that implicitly trusted Keon Coleman yesterday, just 8 games into his career. Joe Brady trusts him based on his play calling, and Josh Allen trusts him based on the times he threw him the ball when he was patently not open and he made a play for him, only to reinforce that trust. So we said it last week, we're seeing Keon Coleman grow up right in front of our eyes, and then we witnessed it. That was his coming out party yesterday. I mean, four catches for 125 yards last week got everybody excited about Keon Coleman. What happened this past week was the maturity into a reliable, dominant receiving talent for this offense.
It's kind of interesting. They went to him once, and they didn't connect. And Coleman, there's a quote from him. He went back to Allen and said, throw it even higher. Because to go up over top of Tariq Woolen, like, that is not a small player that they went over top of on that touchdown.
Tariq Woolen is an inch taller than Coleman. The problem is he doesn't have a 38-inch vertical. Keon Coleman does. And I was in that post-game press conference. I was asking him some of those questions. And when he said that, it was so matter of fact. It was just like, well, I just told him throw it higher next time. Like, it was just like, it's just an everyday thing. But that's what he's used to, because he dominates people in the vertical realm, because you can put a 3-foot box under his feet when he jumps, and there's still 2 extra inches that he's clearing. So he's a phenomenal athletic talent, and the Bills are tapping into that in a very big way.
Did it feel like, Chris, on the out-of-town scoreboard, it was kind of interesting timing. Like, the 1 o'clock games weren't all over by the time the Bills game started, so you would have obviously begun the broadcast. And as those games wrap up, it felt like everything that could have gone the Bills' way yesterday, maybe other than, like, Kansas City winning again, kind of came up their way.
Yeah, we were kind of monitoring a lot of those games, and our spotter Jeff Matthews kind of keeps tabs on it, especially during the commercial breaks. He'll check the scores and everything, which we do, you know, during the 1 o'clock games as well, just to have an idea and a sense, especially if the Bills, you know, are in a race, AFC conference-wise, playoff-wise, what have you. But we were doing that yesterday, and, you know, yes, a lot fell right. A lot of the games were, I mean, the Dolphins lose on a last-second field goal. The Jets lose late. So, yeah, a lot just seemed to fall the right way for Buffalo yesterday, and even in the game with some of the mishaps by the Seahawks, you know, that benefited Buffalo too. Not that the Bills didn't earn that win. They absolutely unequivocally did. But the Seahawks did give them some assistance at times yesterday too. So, you look at it, you say, thank you, football gods, and please don't punish us later in the season because we had such a good week this week.
Chris Brown joining us on the Wester Hotline. Up next, Miami and Indy, and, you know, it's going to be hard not to look too far ahead. We know the Bills won't. That's the good news. But I don't know, Chris, we kind of should look ahead, because looking back is looking at a division that race that is over. So it's kind of weird. It's October 28th. I don't want to say going to stay healthy mode, but, you know, we've got a lot of room for error if there are any errors along the way.
Right, like what I should have mentioned, Chris, like on out of town, like falling the Bills' way, I got to almost reset maybe, like Jets and Patriots, or Jets and Dolphins. Like, to me, maybe the Ravens losing yesterday actually is the biggest thing that helped them, because now it's time to start maybe thinking about bigger fish.
Right, and you know, you don't have the tiebreaker with the Ravens. You don't have the tiebreaker with Houston. So you're going to need help the rest of the way. So any help you can get, you certainly welcome it. You guys are making me nervous, and I realize I probably sound way too much like Howard calling the division race over, but I've just seen too many wacky things over the years. Yeah. Let's just keep on keeping on for now, but there's still way too much football left, and just kind of let them keep doing their thing. But I know I tweeted this last night, too, and the Bills have been good in this category for a long time, but they're now number one in the AFC in point differential at plus 84, and the only team that's got a better point differential than them, the Detroit Lions, at plus 100. But even that being said, the Bills are the only team with the most wins of 21 points or more, in eight games.
Chris Brown on the Western Hotline. Thanks, Chris. We'll chat on Friday to preview the Bills and Dolphins.
All right, sounds good, guys.
Chris's appearance brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com, by Dunn Tire, official tire dealer of the Buffalo Bills, and by Lockport Outdoor Store, high-impact gear for hardworking men and women. What's their probability? What do we got for, like, the odds they win the division? Is it minus 7,000?
So in looking just to make sure New York Times playoff machine is not up, I did find that they have playoff odds. They have odds on everything.
Okay.
You just can't set the games after yet. And they have the Bills as the biggest favorite by the odds to win their division right now at 96%. 96%. Yeah.
All right.
1 percentage point higher than the Chiefs, who are 95%.
Well, the Chargers are not terrible.
Yeah.
They're okay.
It's 3-game lead for them versus 3.5-game lead for the Bills.
803-0550 for us. Wide open phone lines rest of the way leading into the Extra Point Show with Sal. We'll take some time to laugh at the Jets, play a couple of Jets rants maybe along the way.
I've got a Let's Get Stupid on the Jets.
Oh, Let's Get Stupid.
I think it might not even be stupid. It's probably stupid.
We got to get to our dog of the day because the Sabres are home tonight and there's going to be a hot dog. Hot dog of the day tonight. Sabres and Panthers. It is Victory Monday, Buffalo Bills Football Monday on WGR, brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com.
Steady as they come. You know, he's been dealing with an ankle for the last couple weeks. Every week he seems like he's getting a little bit better and more comfortable and confident and cutting. Again, he just continues to make plays for us. And, you know, he's not the flashiest player. You're never going to see him be in the end zone and do something crazy, but he's just as consistent as they come. Love the guy, and he does whatever's asked from him.
Josh Allen, that's a slice of audio from the locker room, brought to you by Picasso's Pizza, your game day tailgating headquarters. Shakir, 9 catches. How many players caught a ball in this game for the Bills?
Ooh, Shakir, Coleman, Cooper caught the one. Knox, Kincaid, Cook caught one.
Is that it?
Six?
Six.
Okay.
Austin Johnson. You said Cooper Kupp.
You said, sorry.
I was going to say.
No, he said Cooper.
Cooper.
Amari Cooper.
I heard Cooper Kupp.
No, he said Cooper caught one.
Really confused.
Amari Cooper. 6 guys caught a pass.
Cooper Kupp will catch one next week. 6 guys caught a pass. Okay. That's fine.
Around the League in a Dash, brought to you by Dash's Market. Got a quick note for you here. Dash's Market, serving Western New York for over 100 years. Shop the family of finer foods with Dash's Market. Joe, what do Tim Tebow, Mike McMahon, and Akili Smith have in common? Tim Tebow with the Jets, Mike McMahon, and Akili Smith.
I don't know if I know who those second and third peoples are.
Akili Smith is one of the all-time busts in NFL draft history, taken 3rd overall by the Bengals.
Okay.
Mike McMahon, just played. The answer is...
Oh, this is going to be completion percentage, isn't
it? Yes, it is.
Yeah, okay.
The answer is, those are the only 3 quarterbacks to have a completion percentage south of Anthony Richardson's right now.
Wow.
He is 222nd out of 225 since the year 2000.
Wow.
Anthony Richardson.
But he does also make 2 plays a game that keeps them in it. He made an insane pass to Josh Downs for a touchdown yesterday.
Well, that was a busted coverage.
No, the second one.
Oh, okay, the second one.
There was another. He caught 2.
Downs was wide open in the first one.
No, the second one was like over, I think it was on top 10 plays.
I haven't seen that one. He also did one, drop one, and I think to A.D. Mitchell, he didn't bring down. Anyway, Richardson.
But yeah, like there is no efficiency at all.
No.
Also, the controversy on him yesterday, I don't know if I saw a follow-up on this.
He was tired.
He took himself out of the game because he was tired?
He took himself out of a game because he was tired. He ran around a lot and took a break.
I don't think
he had to come out on a 3rd down.
Like, dude, I don't think you could do that.
He did that. And his coach is like, yeah, he's tired. They took him out. They ran the ball. They punted.
I think he's about to get roasted for that.
Yeah.
By everybody.
Final hour of this show, wide open to chat about it. Let's enjoy the Jets' misery and celebrate the Bills' successes. It's Victory Monday on WGR.